This is a Channel Africa podcast. You can also get Channel Africa on satellite, PAS 10, DSTV Audio Bouquet 802, and OpenView Bouquet, Channel 628.
Insurance fraud remains the biggest challenge in the provision of healthcare in Kenya. And with 60 years of public health insurance, Kenya is now looking at innovative ways to curb corruption. This morning, we will be discussing the healthcare system of Kenya. And we're joined on the line by the Social Health Authority chairperson, that's Dr. Timothy Olweni. Good morning, Dr. Timothy, thank you for joining us.
Yes, morning, everyone.
Corruption seems to be the biggest challenge in the provision of healthcare in Kenya. But I'd like us, you know, if you could give a brief elaboration of how the healthcare sector is structured there.
Well, the healthcare sector is structured in terms of we have three categories of health facilities. We have got those that are run by government or under publicly funded. We have got private institutions, and we also have some that are called faith-based institutions, which are hospitals that are set up by religious organizations, mainly the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, and the Muslim community. Then we've got the health insurance system, and you've got both social and private health insurance. Social was called the National Health Insurance Fund, and the private insurance companies are a few that also offer other categories of insurance in the market. So that's how it is funded.
The country has 60 years of public health insurance. How does the healthcare insurance of Kenya work?
The National Health Insurance Fund originally was called the National Hospital Insurance Fund. It has grown. It was set up as a fund that was supposed to take care of those who are in formal employment. That's how it started from inception. And it has gradually, over the years, increased the benefits that it offers to its members. Originally, it used to pay what they call a rebate in terms of overnight stay. So it was almost like paying for hospital accommodation. Over the last 10, 15 years, it has expanded the benefit package to include outpatient services, and also more recently, a whole array of inpatient services as well, including paying for surgery and for chronic treatment like cancer treatment and so on. So it has grown in that sense. So that's where we are. But we're at a point of transition now where we're even expanding the benefit package further. And that's what necessitated the need to change to the Social Health Authority after 60 years of NHIF.
Would you say that healthcare in Kenya is constrained by insufficient financial resources and poor distribution of healthcare workers?
Yes, that is a perennial problem. I don't think that is a problem unique to Kenya. I think it's something that many countries in the world, especially in the less wealthy nations, are struggling with. So we are constrained in terms of all kinds of resources, including human resource.
And in recent weeks, we've witnessed national protests by doctors in Kenya. What do you think has prompted these protests, and how has it impacted on the sector?
Yeah, the strike by the healthcare workers, mainly doctors, and now also joined by clinical officers and a few other cadres of healthcare workers, is basically about compensation. They had a collective bargaining agreement because there was a very strong union, which was signed in 2017. And which has not been honored in terms of increasing their pay. So that's what they're negotiating. And secondly, the issue has been about intern doctors and their compensation as well. Due to financial constraints, the government has not been able to deploy intern doctors for over a year, those who qualified and finished medical school. So they're also agitating for them to be deployed, but there's a contention about how much to pay. The government wants to pay them about one third of what they were paid, interns were paid previously, and then increase the pay once they have finished their internship. So that's the contention.
How do you think government should respond to these demands of medical doctors in the country?
I think that there's always two sides to any coin. I understand where the doctors are coming from in terms of it's difficult for you to say you're going to lower the pay for any worker in terms of labor laws. However, again, between not deploying them at all and deploying them at a lower rate, which the government is feasible to afford, I think both sides have got a case, and I'm really hoping that they are going to reach some agreement in terms of how to do it, because there was no provision in the current budget for their deployment. So it would mean that they'd have to wait for a new financial year, which starts in July, if they're going to be paid at the rates they are requesting.
How is Kenya moving towards using technology in the healthcare sector?
There has been a proposal, and this is something that was mooted in the last year or so, to have what we refer to as a digital superhighway, where we're going to have and internet connectivity and software that is going to connect a lot of government agencies together with all medical institutions and together with the social health insurance partner. And there's an organization called KEMSA that is involved in supplies and the supply chain management for medical commodities and products. So we're supposed to have all be interconnected in the whole country, so that way we can be able to manage our data under the health information exchange. We've got different agencies that can exchange this information. Even for us as the social health authority, it's going to be important because we will have a claims management system that is digitized, fully digitized. And this is one of the measures that is being taken to curb insurance fraud because there's more visibility across the ecosystem.
You know, based on some of the challenges that you mentioned in the move towards adopting technology, do you think Kenya is ready to make this transition?
Yes, Kenya is ready to make the transition. Of course, the deployment of this technology is running behind schedule. So chances are we might start launching, especially the new health insurance scheme that's proposed. We might have to look for ways of launching it with the current after tweaking the current system we have, and then deploy the new one gradually. Because if we were to deploy at a rate that is faster than is feasible, then chances are we might cause disruption in the system, which I don't think is something we want to do at this stage.
How far has Kenya come? I mean, how has the provision of healthcare insurance evolved over the past few years?
I think it has evolved by and large. This was, you see, originally the contribution levels were extremely low. And in the last 10 years or so, we've had gradual increases in what people are contributing. And secondly, there has been an increased participation from the informal sector. So that is what has grown the resources that are available to deploy in terms of healthcare provision. However, the other challenge has been that with the increased resources, again, there has been a rise in healthcare costs. So that is the challenge that we are grappling with. So there has to be a much wider debate on how to manage healthcare costs if we're going to deliver on the benefits that we are promising Kenyans.
You're currently in Cape Town here in South Africa for the annual Board of Healthcare Funders Conference. Can you tell us a bit about some of the interesting discussions that have come out of this conference, which I believe comes to an end tomorrow?
Yes, there have been a lot of interesting discussions, especially around comparing the healthcare systems in different parts of Africa and that in the UK. And it was interesting to note that people are grappling with the same problems across the board. It is about how to make sure that we've got universal health coverage, how you make sure everybody participates in terms of contributions, how to deploy those resources most effectively, and how to deliver on benefits. We've got rising cost of healthcare. So the issues are the same across the board, and people have got a range of solutions they're trying to craft to be able to navigate that problem. Of course, again, there's also seems to be a lot of skepticism about government participation in terms of healthcare provision, and I see a lot of resistance in Kenya. And I think even to some extent, I saw that in South Africa about people not wanting to be, if they don't want mandated contributions towards universal health coverage. But if you were to ask me, that has to be the way to go, because when people are still working, when they're healthy, they feel that they don't necessarily need a publicly funded healthcare system. But I can assure you, as you grow older, as you start getting, and for those who've got chronic medical conditions, especially, you realize that social health insurance might be the only solution, especially in those circumstances.
Now, healthcare insurance, you know, here on the continent has been described as something that's expensive. What are the measures that are being put in place to curb this in different parts of the continent?
I think it is expensive relative to people's ability to pay and in terms of earnings. However, I think one of the things that we are adopting, for example, in Kenya is if you have a social health insurance taking, for example, first loss, meaning they're the ones who pay first for any medical claims, and then any private insurers pay as a second loss, then hopefully that will reduce the premiums because the risk to the private insurance companies, for example, is lower, and that will reduce the premiums across the board. Of course, it has to be something that has to be regulated, for example, by any regulatory authorities in terms of insurance, because you don't want them, again, taking advantage of the system. But ideally, if everybody has got social health insurance and they take first loss, then it means the risk exposure to the private insurance companies is lower, and ideally they should charge lower premiums.
And what do you think countries can learn from each other, you know, as some look to introduce NHI, like here in South Africa? Are there any lessons that we can draw from each other's experiences, especially on the continent?
Yeah, I think the main thing is how do we structure, have a contribution structure, first of all, that is equitable, that is fair to everybody, You've got those with, especially those with higher ability to pay, need to contribute more, because the principle of social health insurance is supposed to be the young will pay for the old, the rich will pay for the poor, and those who are well will pay for those who are unwell. That concept still takes a while to grasp, because you have a lot of people saying, I keep contributing to health insurance and I don't use it. Ideally, you're not supposed to use it. You prefer not to use it because nobody wants to get unwell. I think it's going to take a while for it to get root, because people tend to have difficulty making payments for something that's unforeseen. And you understand, if it's in a resource environment where we're resource constrained, people are more focused on what their immediate needs are, to get put food on the table, to be able to get to work, their transportation, their accommodation, and so on. So that's what it is. So it is more about people not having adequate resources to be able to think at that higher level. However, the interesting thing is those who are more reluctant to pay for health insurance are the ones actually who need it most again, because they're the ones who cannot be able to deal with the catastrophic expenditure that comes with chronic illness, especially, or emergencies or sudden illness. And even for the younger people, they are actually more prone to accidents, which are very expensive in terms of their need for healthcare resources. So I think it's just a mindset, and it's going to take a while for it to take root, but we can copy from what people are doing in different countries. You realize in terms of democratization, again, we've got a whole mix. You have some countries where you have so-called benevolent dictators, so they don't get opposition, as much opposition to any proposals. Whereas, for example, like in Kenya, we are very, very liberal in terms of people have got the right to go to court and so on. So, and people are very vocal about what they feel. And I think it must be the same in South Africa, where people have got room to be able to air their protests. So we're different in terms of different countries in that sense.
All right, Dr. Timothy, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Dr. Timothy is the Kenya Social Health Authority chairperson, and he was talking to us there about some of the challenges they're facing with insurance fraud in the country. And with 60 years of public health insurance, Kenya is now looking at innovative ways to try and curb this corruption.
That podcast was courtesy of Channel Africa, the African perspective.